This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, please give him the number.
1-800. How many times I got to tell them? They're supposed to know the damn number.
They should, okay, they should tell us the number.
1-800-919-3676.
Yeah.
Once again, that's 1-800-919-3676.
Aha! Aha!
Aha! Yeah. I just want to make sure they're paying the damn attention. 3776. And if you can't get us on the hotline, catch us on the tweet at Bart Han. If you can't get us on the tweet, catch us on Instagram, DM Allen Nabel Shots exclusively.
Please don't do that.
And, Bill, tell them what the hell else they can get us.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, one of those. Pick one.
Thanksgiving week, and we were just fighting with Chris Canty about something that I guess is becoming a cultural thing.
It's always been culture.
Like, honestly, can I just say it here for the record?
Sure.
Sweet potatoes are not a dessert.
Aha.
They're not a dessert.
It's tomatoes,
they're
tomato.
Really good as fries.
Tomatoes, tomatoes, right?
But it's not a dessert.
So because tomatoes are taking
the whole
their fruit.
Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie thing is like, it's not even an argument.
But you've had sweet potato casserole, right? And it's super sweet.
But again, not a dessert.
But people put cinnamon and sugar and marshmallows, whatever you want to put on it, right?
Right.
So anybody that understands or goes to Roof Chris understands where that sweet potato casserole comes, I'll give you diabetes. But this is the difference, right? When you talk about patty pies, right? Patty pies, which was the hottest craze in the world going on, was Patty LaBelle's pies that they were selling at Walmart that you couldn't even find them. It was guys in the back of the alley, like, yo, got these patty pies, son. What you gonna do for these patty pies? I got two patty pies, man. Give me these patty pies. I'll give you a brick.
It'd be calling me.
Exactly. It'd be calling me. Right. So this is a distinct difference, right, between like how we view it, right? Okay, we look at pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie from a African American culture standpoint as the same flavor. They taste exactly the same, right? But this is the thing. What we try and decipher and understand is, where do you get the filling for pumpkin pie, right? So you can't get the pumpkin pie flavor. You get the sweet potato flavor in pumpkin pie, but you figured out they're not taking the rinds of the pumpkin and grinding the pumpkin up. No, they're not doing that. They're not grinding the pumpkin up. So you're trying to figure out, I know where my sweet potato pie comes from. My sweet potato pie comes from, they're going to take the sweet potato, and then what my grandmother's going to do, she's going to boil the sweet potato, and then the sweet potato or the yams, they have strings in them, so you put them through a strainer, and what happens is your filling becomes actually the sweet potato pie. Now, if you depend on who you are, you mix it up with a little gadgets, some nutmeg, some cinnamon.
Excuse me.
And then you put, you know, some nut. Yeah, exactly. Phrasing. You put some nutmeg and you put some cinnamon on top of it, and then you have the filling for your sweet potato pie. Now, depending on if you want to go straight dough, or if you want to go with the graham cracker dough crust. You know, you can switch it up. Put a little whipped cream on the top, and boom. It's amazing.
Listen,
that's the difference. I don't know where the hell the pumpkin flavor comes from in the pumpkin pie. Where does it come from, Alan? I know a rind doesn't look like that. Are you putting a rind inside of a mulch?
Use the rind.
So where does the pumpkin flavor come from when you have an
orange? Do you eat the rind?
No, but you get the orange from the orange juice. It ain't nothing inside of a pumpkin but seeds.
It's not just seeds. There is stuff you actually get
Is that the stuff we're eating? What I'm trying to understand is, where does the stuff from the pumpkin pie come from? Where does the filling come from? Because I don't. If we're not using a rind and the little strings in there that we scrape out when we're trying to carve our pumpkin, then where the hell does it come from? Because the only thing that's edible inside of a pumpkin is the pumpkin seeds in which you roast. So I don't understand. Where's this mystery?
I'm just going to go back to the original.
So maybe for years, like, this is Impossible Burger meat. This is fake meat. It's some type of pumpkin flavor that is manufactured. It's not real pumpkin.
I'm not going to pretend that I even make desserts. This is my wife. She's with some sorcery that she works
in the kitchen,
and she makes a pumpkin pie.
I know she's teaching right now. But
blows my mind.
This is a lesson that we need to teach to America. Where the hell does the flavor and the filling come from pumpkin pie? I don't know. Is it the rind? No. Is it the seeds? No. So where the hell is the pumpkin flavor coming from?
Is pumpkin flavor
right.
You know what?
Really pumpkin flavor?
Phrasing?
Or really, is it sweet potato flavor, and they say that it's pumpkin flavor, and they're imposter burgers?
You just blew my mind. I'll tell you what, though. I'm just going to end it with this.
Okay.
Potatoes are not dessert. All right, let's move on. I'm watching Monday Night Football, and everybody wants to spend the day about whether Tom Brady still can play and all that. I don't give a damn about Tom Brady and the Bucs. You know what I do? I do think though, how interesting it would be if somehow, some way, the Giants could win this division and end up playing the Bucs in a home game
and beat them.
And have Brady have to come to MetLife and is miserable because, you know, it's going to have to be cold and miserable, which he's used to. He played in New England.
But you just
have him in MetLife. If only there could be fans there just to get one more time he's got to slay the dragon and try to beat the Giants. You don't think that Bill Belichick would be calling Joe Judge like, all right, here's how we beat Tom Brady. And Joe Judge's like, did you just say we? Yeah, here's how we are going to beat Tom Brady.
But then,
he's not getting out of the first round.
Here's the problem when I watch the Bucks. They have an identity crisis. Once again, here I go watching them go three wide.
I don't think they have an identity crisis at all. I know what you're going to do. You're going to go X's and O's on me and try to spin all this stuff so my head starts where I can't keep up with you because you're a savant with this stuff. But I'm going to stop you right there, Bartholomew, because this has nothing to do with identity. You know what their identity is? They can beat bad teams. That's it. They can beat bad teams because anytime they play a good team, teams with seven or more wins, they're 1-3 against them. And Brady has seven interceptions.
And they can't play at night, right?
He doesn't play well on the primetime games either. So I think you just look at them, and they have a lot of fancy names. Like Antonio Brown, first of all, this was not a great matchup. That kid Williams played really well against Brown, and obviously Jalen Ramsey was looking forward to that matchup with Mike Evans. You could tell. Like, that was a personal thing, and those guys went to work, no question. But, I mean, other than Brady, I mean, what did Gronk do? Like, this was a game that was exposing the Bucs' issues, which is they have names you've heard of. They're a fantasy football team that, when it comes down to playing good teams, they don't win.
Right, and I believe they barely beat
the Giants.
I don't believe they win against these good teams because they have an identity crisis. Right, I look at their personnel. What are they doing? They got three receivers out there. That's not your best personnel group. The week before, when they rushed for 200 yards and they threw for almost 500 yards of offense, what were they doing? Two tight ends.
No, I know you're going back to that. Yes.
If you have two tight ends, it is the toughest personnel to deal with.
That's a Bruce Arians thing, though.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it's there's continually having these fights with each other internally about what the philosophy and how we're going to go about business, right? They keep doing that because how many times have we seen, we've never seen Tom Brady take that many damn deep shots. Guess what? Because it comes off of running and play action. They got him just dropping back, hauling the ball up. Guess what? He throws to the wrong person when you do that. But when you defined it, when you rush the ball, you open everything up for him, and that's always been Bruce Arians' issue. Mm-hmm. So now we talked about, it's Jameis Winston. Well, maybe it's Bruce Arians and him taking shots and blind shots down the field instead of just being able to go through the running game and be able to figure things out and wear teams down. That's what my issue is with them. I think that's the problem. It's not the good teams. It's the philosophy. It's continual butting of the heads between the head coach and the CEO of the team. And we saw this happen in Denver. But what happened is Peyton won out, and they end up doing Peyton more what he did. And listen, this is what I'm saying, right? Tom Brady, a great player. I don't know if he's an alpha male from this standpoint. Peyton Manning's going to say something. I think that Tom Brady's so trained to just do what guys say and maybe get some input, but not but be complicit and just say, okay, I'll do it your way. Where Tom, where Peyton Manning was like, no, we ain't doing this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Right? And we can see the difference in the personality. We would think that Tom Brady would be the sophisticated, confident one, right? But I think in the back of his head, he's still that six-round draft pick. Where Peyton Manning was like, Jets, I ain't coming to y'all. Y'all suck. Right? And he has the audacity to say, you know, guess what? If you Peyton
so you
has
think Brady is still being chased by this, huh? He's not, like, even though he's, people are calling him the greatest of all time, in his brain, I don't know if I am yet.
I think at the core of him,
he's imposter syndrome for a guy of his level.
Yes. I think at his core, he's Tim Duncan. That he's not going to be outspoken. He's just going to play right and say, you know what, we'll make it work. If this is what you want to do, I'm just going to try and do it.
So Tom Brady needs a coach like he needed Bill Belichick. So this is going back to that whole discussion.
Right.
Is Tom Brady couldn't have been Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. And maybe Bill Belichick isn't Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. But some things, like this is Reese's. This is chocolate and peanut butter. It has to go together.
And so Peyton is the type of personality. We see it whenever we do anything or they do anything together, who dominates the conversation? Who's the funny guy? It's always Peyton, but you expect the handsome guy to be the funny guy, the cool guy, but he's actually not. He's actually the insecure one. Mm. When you look at Peyton, Peyton's the one that went out to Denver and told Kubik, no, bro, we're not doing that. Let me show you what we're going to do. Let me show you how we did it. And this is how I want to play. And then Kubiak had to become complicit. But then in this relationship over here, Bruce Arians is the one with the swag, the one saying, no, this is how we do things, blah, blah, blah. And Brady, because he's always been willing to take less money, he's always been willing to be the team player. We need Tom Brady to be selfish. Say, I don't do this well. I don't want to do this. I like my two tight ends. When I had Hernandez, when I had Gronkowski, when I had Algie Crumpler, that's when I shine. I play well off play action and death by a thousand paper cuts. You got me sitting up here chucking the balls up, and my interceptions are going up, and I'm turning the ball over, and I'm not seeing backside coverage coming over because I'm not used to doing that, bro. Let me do me. Y'all brought me here to shine and be the Tom Brady that was always willing or able to get lesser talent to a higher level. Now I got more talent, and I'm bringing them down because you got me doing things that I haven't done in 20 years that I've never done. Mm-hmm. So you need to figure this out. I run the ball. Whether it's Rex Burkhead, whether it's Kevin Falk, whether it's Corey Dillon, I always go through my run game. Then I open you up surgically.
What happened only a couple, what was it, last week or the week before when was it Ronald Jones just went off in that game?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Not only him, Leonard Fournette. That's when the offense is right with two tight ends. Right, it's the hardest personnel group to line up against because you got to have regular personnel out there because they can bludgeon you to death. But then when you go out there, you don't have the skill set out there. You don't have enough DBs out there to cover Brady, to cover Gronk. So now you got linebackers covering them instead of DBs covering them.
All right, well, so putting the Bucks aside, it is, and it's a fantastic breakdown of it. But I brought it up only because I was watching it, and I'm wondering, okay, how this is. The Bucks pretty much are going to be a wild card team now, and you're just looking at the NFC, and I'm looking at this at the breakdown, right? So right now, the way it stands, the Saints would be the bye, and then your 2-7 would be the Rams and the Cardinals. What a matchup that would be! The 3-6 right now is Packers and the Bucks. Which also, again, you're Rodgers versus Brady. And you remember
one,
the first time around. That was ugly, right. And then the 4-5 would be the NFC East winner versus Seattle. Now, things could certainly change, and Tampa could end up being in the 4-5 game. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because, like I said, the Giants and Tampa would have so many cool story angles. Now, the first question I want to ask is this, and you can join in at 800-919-3776. We'll see the calls lining up. We're going to grab them in a minute. Also at Barton Hunt on Twitter. But Bart, I want you, like, you're a player, you're always going to be about winning. But when you're the Giants, and there is a possibility. Now, the most likely outcome, really, considering strength of schedule, is Dallas winning the division. Sounds crazy to say it, but they have the second easiest schedule left in the entire NFL.
And Andy Dalton played well.
And Andy Dalton is back, and so you would think they should do it. The Giants have a difficult schedule. The second hardest of the remaining schedules of all the teams in the division. But it doesn't matter. They've been playing very well. 3-3 in their last six, and all three losses, they could have won easily. They could have won those games. So the point is, if you have a chance to win this division, you're a Giants fan, how are you feeling? Because remember, we're in this era now of draft picks, and what good is it to be the eighth seed like in the NBA? What good is it to be a team that might win your division, but you play one damn game, a home game, where you can't sell tickets, so you're not making that money. You play a home game, you lose, and then your season's over. And guess what? Your pick could have been a top 10 pick. Because let's say you're 6-10.
They're 7
you could have
right
been a top
now.
10. Right.
Yeah.
So you could be a top 10. So it's
ooh,
amazing.
Ooh.
Win the division.
Ooh.
You move to like 20th, 19th ooh. Or 20th ooh. If you win the division.
You spitting right now, huh?
So think ooh. About it for a minute. If you're a fan, how do you feel? Are you all in? I asked this on Twitter earlier, and I got amazing ooh. Responses I got. But that's the question I have.
Ooh.
Is it better for the Giants to say, let's go get this division, we can do it?
So basically what you're
or
saying is...
are you sure? Because you drop in a draft where you've got some wide receivers at the top, you've yeah. got some tackles at the top, you've got corners at the top, those are all needs. You're telling me that you, like, what is the value of winning the division in a garbage season? Where it would be sort of an asterisk on that banner you hang up, yeah. division champs. How many wins? 6. Right? See, so you would fall from a top 10 pick to even a bottom 10 pick. Which has more value to where the Giants are right now in their rebuild, Bart?
That's our question of the day, huh?
It is.
Listen, this is why I don't pay attention on our production, because I'd like to be pleasantly surprised. I didn't even know you was going to spit this.
I put it on Twitter an hour ago.
I didn't even know you was going to spit this type of hot fire, man. That is, yeah. man. So basically what you asking Giants fans out there,
mm-hmm.
do you want to win the battle and lose the war? Wow.
Well, it's which has more value to you
exactly.
where you are. See, again, you can't take out of context. Of course, winning a division, making the playoffs is always better than losing. My point is where you are right now as a franchise.
Yes. You need people.
Is a top 10 pick more ooh. Valuable to you than a divisional, you know, a division championship with a home game with no fans and it ends up being a, you know, a 19-20 pick.
But this is what I want to say as well, because you understand, like, much like I'm sure it's going to be some Giant fans that go in different directions, I'm sure within those walls it's going to be some people that go in that direction.
Come on.
Because with Gettleman,
come on.
He wants
Joe Judge. No way in hell Joe Judge is accepting the idea of, hey, you know what, if Gettleman walks in that room and gives him that whole thing.
No, Gettleman is the one that needs it.
He needs the division win, too.
He needs the division so he can win.
Oh, you think it's going to be Marrow or Tish who says that?
Yes.
Tish wants to win. Tish is all about winning. Tish could care less about draft picks. He wants dubs.
But he'll take a banner. But the banners are cute, but is it?
But would Mara be the guy, the more of a football guy? Would Mara be the guy?
Yes, because they're hollow, right? It's like, okay, well, we got an opportunity to get a player that can help change our narrative next, right? Because remember, it's not just the first round pick, mm-hmm. it's the second round pick. Because if they're 7th, then that means they're 39th as well.
Crazy. So, that's a great point. That second round pick also becomes less valuable.
My point. So now you can't even move up and do anything. But if you got 7 mm-hmm. and your guy's still there, you can move to 10 and 13 and get another second round draft pick so that you can fill this roster up. Because no matter what, you're the best of the worst if you win a division.
Let me give you some responses I got on the Twitter that I put out there. I said the Twitter thing.
The tweet.
Yeah, on the Twitter. See, it's my boomer thing happening again. It comes out.
I'm a man.
The older
I'm
you
married.
Get, yeah. like you just the boomer thing just starts. You don't even know. I put this on the Twitter.
We're gonna get some product set.
I need something because like, I don't even know what's happening. It just starts to like this is a it's a disorder that hits you when you get old. It's amazing. Yeah. I don't know why I said the Twitter, but I did. All right. So how about Ray? Ray's a great friend of the show.
New
he said I'm a Giants fan. It's worth it. A wise man once said. We play to win the game. All right? Let's see. Others have talked about, let's see, teams have to rebuild. Giants finally on a positive path. Right? Give me a playoff game, Jason says. Draft position means nothing if you draft the wrong guys. If draft position is equated to success, then good teams wouldn't be good for very long, and bad teams wouldn't stay bad for long. There's a reason Seattle and Baltimore are always good and Detroit isn't. That's a great point, Jason. Okay, like you have that. Bill said, first, if there's anything to play for, win. Either your team knows what they're going to do. An example, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, doesn't matter where you draft. I believe in Judge.
Again, it does matter.
Another
it does
one.
Matter
Giants
judge.
Should. Should I wish I could say his name, but I can't. N. Swizz, we trust, I guess is what he said.
So can I go back?
Giants should of course try to win the division. The Cowboys have the inside track, though. I hope the Giants pull it off. Like the bottom line is, Giants fans are like, no, win the division. The top 10 pick.
So let me go back. Right. So you mean mm-hmm. tell me that you can get a right tackle, or you can get a good another great left tackle move, Andrews to right tackle and cut.
You've got in this draft, you've got the two tackles, the kid was it Sewell from Oregon. You've got the other kid from Texas, highly rated by
right. So you mean to tell me
by Kuiper?
So you mean to
two wide receivers? You got three wide receivers. You got two from Alabama.
Yeah,
Devontae Smith. And then you've got the kid from LSU as well, Jamar Chase. So you got some talent, right. Some skill position, and you got a couple of corners.
You're going to miss out on all of them, right? So this is what I'm saying, right? So Andrew Thomas may not. I'm not going to call him a bust, but he's struggling.
He's just taking his time.
If you got a top seven pick and you can get one of those tackles, right? And you can get one of those tackles. You got a top seven pick, mm-hmm. right? You can, in turn, get rid of Nate Solder's contract and get even more money in a draft.
Well, they have, and they're going to have cap space. You're
my
right.
point, but now you're going to have more cap space. So now you can get your left tackle. You can get your new left tackle from Oregon, and you can put him out there. And now you got two left tackles, and you can get rid of Nate Solder's contract.
Yeah.
And now you can go out in free agency. You can go get Judon. You can be in the Yannick sweepstakes and not feel like you're spending all your money. So. That's tough, right? Because we talk about, we want guys to win, play to win, right? How do the Knicks feel like if they had Steph Curry? How do the Knicks feel if they have Steph Curry?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, for all the Knicks fans out there, you want to do that, but what happens?
That's a lottery. That's a little different. The lottery put them where they were.
It's a lottery, but it's a big difference losing a lottery and getting a lottery. So if they win, if they go and win a division, you just said they're going to drop 20 spots, Allen?
It's amazing. Well, 10.
That's 20. Well, yeah. 10. That's a lot.
That's a big drop. You drop 10 spots, and you only have one first round. It's not like they have multiple firsts. They have first and one second.
My point.
So that's part of the issue. Okay.
Ooh.
Now a couple other answers. Like, I'm surprised by you though, because normally players are like, I don't care. I'm playing to win.
I'm thinking of the businessman.
Of course you will.
Half of those dudes there aren't even going to be there anymore. That's the whole thing.
That's the other question.
So all the people that want to win, they're not even going to be on the team. And then guess what? You're going to have to replace them. Guess what? You ain't going to have the ammunition to replace them with good players. Because guess what? You got a late draft pick.
Yeah. All right. So you got, let's see, Christopher saying play to win, playoff experience will only help Jones. Big game James, give me the division. Out of any sport in football, any given Sunday, get in and see what happens. Making the playoffs is always a positive. I'm telling you, man, the reaction sounds to me like more Jets fans, Giants fans, I should say. Jets fans would give anything. No, Jets fans don't want to win. What am I talking about?
Exactly. What am I talking about? They're thinking logically.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So
we got Coleman in the Bronx. So let's take a Giants fan here. Coleman in the Bronx. Go ahead, Coleman.
Good morning, guys. So I've made a couple of predictions on your show, and I've been on the ball.
Love it.
I think with my Giant assessment over the last couple of weeks mm-hmm. than most people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
So what I think the Giants need to have seven wins to get this division. Personally, I think there's still a big chance that the Eagles can go 6-9-1, and if the Giants are 6-10, they're just out of luck. But I think the Giants beat the Bengals, you know, no Joe Burrow. I think the Giants at the end of the season beat the Cowboys. I think the Giants beat the Browns. I think Baker Mayfield is atrocious, in my opinion. And that's going to be the Daniel Jones revenge game from that GQ article he said talking about he wasn't good. That's going to be the revenge game.
Tell that to Nick Chubb.
I'll tell you, it's an X factor. But one thing you...
Seattle...
All right, listen.
James Bradbury locks up DK Metcalf.
Oh, my God. Are you high?
We're done.
Are you high?
We're done. Just so you know, Philadelphia has the fifth hardest schedule left in the league, in the entire league. Fifth hardest. They said that the Saints, they've got the Packers, Seahawks, Cardinals. I mean, that ain't easy. You know, and then Monday night, they've got they got Seattle Monday night. After this weekend, this week. This is their Monday night game. So that I know that tie could end up being like the deciding factor, but they're a mess. Their quarterback situation is creating a lot of tension, and they're not a very good team. So they're heading in the wrong direction. The Giants then, again, they have Seattle as well. The Browns, which they could beat the Browns. I don't know if they will. It could. Ravens, that's tough. The Cardinals will be an interesting game as well. Bengals now without Burrow, that becomes an interesting game. And that Cowboys game at the end of the season is probably now a huge game. But Dallas has the second easiest schedule left. They don't play anybody. Now, the reason why they don't play anybody is because they play their own division three times. That's why. Washington, the Giants, and the Eagles. So they control their destiny by playing, you know, their own division. You know, the Niners and the Bengals are also on that schedule with just the Ravens as their toughest opponent to finish up. So it's going to be interesting, but I just thought it was worth the question. What's it worth to you? You know, what's it worth to you? A playoff game or a top 10 pick?
And you know, you're not a good team. That's the whole thing. You're not a good team. As great as you can say they're playing for Joe Judge, what's their damn record?
Yeah.
And the thing is, so they're going to finish 6 wins. That is a bad season for most teams.
But if you're not,
you want to win a division and then do what?
It's weird. It's an awkward place, but that's 2020 for you, baby. Let's talk to you. Let's begin with Ira in Staten Island. Go ahead, Ira.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart. How are you guys?
What's
happy
happening?
Thanksgiving.
Likewise.
Oh, all good. All good. Yeah, hope you get heard and on because that's a player I just scratched my head. I think he has all the physical, athletic ability to be a good tight end. He just seems to mentally check out of games, but that's the end of the day. Hopefully he comes on with
he's
you guys.
20, you know, he's just 23. You know he's 23. Like, that's the thing. It's like you got to remember some guys that mature a little bit later and maybe, you know, after everything he went through last year and it's still taking him a little time. But, hey, he got his first touchdown, so maybe he's starting to feel better about things.
That's true. But and I know a lot of Jets fans aren't going to want to hear this. I have a good feeling. I don't see Tua beating the Jets this week. I think the Jets have played the run fairly well this year, actually pretty well. And I don't see Tua beating them through the air. I think the Jets, I don't care whether it's Darnold, whether it's Flacco, you could see that they came close 2 weeks in a row. They don't want to have that goose egg on their record at the end of the year. I think this is a week. Jets 23, Dolphins 20.
All right, now before we let you go, Ira, do you want the Jets to win this game?
In my heart, I do. In my mind, no.
Right.
But
the Jets have the second. The Jets have the second toughest.
I'm giving you an honest answer.
Oh, I hear you. No, I completely understand it. I wanted to know how you felt. Like, you know, you went with, you know, a whole football reason, and then I wanted to ask you your fan reason. That's why I wanted that answer. The Jets have the second toughest schedule for the rest of the season in the entire league.
Thank you.
The second toughest, right? Jacksonville, however, the other team that they only have one win, they have the fourth toughest. So all it takes is for you to get one, and now you go neck and neck to the very end. And I don't see how does Jackson win a damn game the rest of the year?
And then we watch Jacksonville get what we want.
And that's what I'm saying.
And then we're sitting there like,
Then we all start going either, oh no, we've always loved Sam,
right?
Or Justin Fields is just as good. One of the other's going to happen there.
I want to be able to have the slam dunk. Like Sam Darnold when he came out wasn't the slam dunk. He was one of them, but he wasn't the slam dunk, right? He was like, okay, this is, you know, the Jets, you know, aggressively they up to maybe get Sam Darnold, you know, but if I got my choice to get a generational talent and this season will be lost if Trevor Lawrence becomes a great quarterback for the Jets. Be that Drew Brees, be that franchise, be that Russell Wilson, the quarterback that turned it. Nobody will remember that they went 0-16, and neither will anybody care.
Well, you remember it fondly in a weird way.
Exactly.
That's what you'll do. You'll look and go, that we bled a lot that year, but look what came from it, right? From all that despair came something great. That's what you hope. But all I'm saying is that if Sam has been playing these games, I might have a different perspective. But I don't. Joe Flacco's playing,
right?
Like I could give a damn about Joe Flacco. I'm sorry, no offense to Joe Flacco. I could give a damn about Joe Flacco winning football games right now. That doesn't do me, and that doesn't do anything for me. If this is Sam and Sam's out there just slinging, and he's saying like I'm not taking an 0-16 on my record.
Right.
That ain't happening. And he's really playing, and he's playing all out. And I'm saying, look at this guy because he's playing for his job, and I respect that.
So
but he's not playing right now.
So he's going to practice Wednesday. Right? Reports are he's going to practice Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I say he's going to do whatever he has to do because all he knows for him to get his fifth-year option picked up, all he has to do is win one game. So if you're Sam Darnold, all you have to win is one game, and you're going to have four tries to do
playing for his career.
Like I said before, remember that part. One of my favorite movies, one of my favorite movies in the world is Predator. And I can remember a scene so vividly in my mind, Alan. And I can remember when Jesse the Body Ventura had got shot, took one to the abdomen.
And a cavity like that. His entire chest was not there anymore.
He's leaking. No, I'm talking. He got shot, and they say, I think it was Duke. And Duke was like, yo, man, you got shot. You bleeding. See, I ain't got time to bleed.
I ain't got time to bleed.
So if I'm Sam Darnold and my shoulder hurt, I ain't got time to have my shoulder hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's waiting for me on the other side of my shoulder not hurting is $20, $30 million.
No doubt about that. He was supposed to have hurting it.
Yeah, but he dropped the phone.
Still waiting. I think we're done waiting. What'd you say?
What happened?
You want to make the call?
To all the sunlight.
Yeah. I'm going to make the call and say we're all set.
He missed a stop. He dropped the phone.
I'm going to make the call, damn it,
because he can't catch.
Come on, dude. I
mean, yeah, you got to be better than that.
It's your third year, trying to get right. Finally got a touchdown last week. I don't get that. We've had, like, and the Jets have given us some guys. I mean, I understand it's a bad year. So they're not giving us headliners for this spot, but we have gotten a couple of interesting guys that we're interested to talk to.
We had Frank Gore and guys.
Gore was fantastic.
Guys to play their case and understand that this
Braxton
is when you
Berrios.
This is when you do those interviews, right? This is when
you're hurting, it's exactly what you want. You want the fans to understand, hey, I understand where I am right now, and, you know, I've got a lot to, you know.
It hasn't been good enough. Hopefully last week was a, and it's a crazy thing. I interviewed him last night. That's a crazy thing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Forget about Chris Herndon, but how about Sam Darnold? So video chatting with the family this holiday season, because, you know, you have to keep the numbers low. We've got the perfect guest for everyone's virtual gathering, New York Jets quarterback, for now, Sam Darnold. It's 98.7 ESPN, Sam and the Fam sweepstakes. See what we did there? Here's how you win. Send us a brief message telling us why Sam should hang with your fam for a 30-minute virtual huddle. Send that message to us at this email address, 987ESPN@gmail.com. It's 987ESPN@gmail.com. Winners,
not today's instant chat or whatever.
No, just Gmail. Winners will each get one-of-a-kind experience with friends and family to have a virtual hangout with Sam Darnold. It's all from your home for the hookup and your home for the hangout. 98.7 ESPN.
Just a side note, my mom did send me the recipe to pumpkin pie. You know, so mom, I appreciate you listening.
Yeah, there literally is stuff in the pumpkin that you can puree, and that's what you use for the flavoring. It's legit pumpkin.
But if that's the case, why not just use the strong flavor and the consistency and the softness of sweet potatoes?
You know, Anthony
matter of fact, they should be sweet potato lattes. I know they have the pumpkin lattes. Yeah. Why not just have sweet potato
lattes? Because sweet potatoes are not a dessert.
But they're sweet. So tell me this.
But they're not a dessert.
What the hell is a pumpkin? What the hell is a pumpkin? What is a pumpkin?
I just want everybody to know Anthony likes a good poll.
Amazing.
He does. And he put
just
one
Google
on,
it.
On at Barton Hahn. I am retweeting it as we speak. Chris Candy started this, so we need to get answers, and we will by the end of the show. Which is a pumpkin pie? Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie. That's part of the song.
But this is the thing: is a pumpkin not a vegetable too? What is a pumpkin? Is a pumpkin a fruit?
It grows on a vine, so wouldn't that make it a fruit? No, that makes it a vegetable. On a tree, it's a fruit. Yeah, you know, it's a vegetable. It's got to be a vegetable. It's not a vine.
So the same argument you make about sweet potatoes, I can make about damn pumpkins. So what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. That's all I had. The Knicks made an interesting hire today. I'm going to say this real quick. Darren Erman is a name you might know if you're a diehard NBA fan. He's been an assistant for a while around the league. Pelicans for a couple of years. He was with Boston this past year in their G League. He also was in Golden State on Mark Jackson's staff, and he was considered one of the defensive masterminds behind that group. And a hard-working coach that is very respected around the league. Yes, he's also the guy that, if you read the story, was somebody that did secretly tape Mark Jackson and sort of implicated him, got him in trouble, and got him fired. Tom Thibodeau loves him because of his work ethic and also his defensive acumen, and they hired him. They brought him in on the staff. So once again, as I said, there's no salary cap on infrastructure. You can spend all you want on the best of the best. And Rajon Rondo once called Erman a baby Thibodeau. It's pretty much the same type of thing. So you're getting a workaholic who knows his defense and has been around the G League as well, has coached young teams. So it's another person that they've brought in to help coach this young group, and we'll see. The coaching staff's going to be your star this year. There's not going to be any players who are stars. Your coaching staff's going to have to be your stars this year.
Why does the league hate Mark Jackson? That's the bigger question. Because if a guy did something to that to anybody, I have respect for him.
I know.
And he was a CIA.
You would think, right? You would think you would never want to hire a guy that would do that.
He wore a wire. Yeah. You know what usually happens to people that wear a wire? Please, Tone, not in the face. That's usually what happens. Soprano
you're not
style.
Wrong.
That Please, does, Tone, not in the face. And he snitched and openly wore a wire, man. He wore a wire. That means he conspired. This wasn't impulsive. He went home and said, let me get the trap phone. Let me go get the wire. And then let me get the tape recorder. Let me put it inside my basketball suitcase. And he went Mark Jackson.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about
and
that.
And it's probably because of those tapes. And when people heard those tapes, it's why he can't get a job. Even though he's one of the best minds that I believe ever played basketball. And he plays the most desired position for a head coach, point guard. And my man Mark Action Jackson can't get a blink, a sniff. And all these other guys that are great at announcing and can show their acumen by the X's and O's and breaking it down and all that stuff continues to get shots. And it looks like he's going to be one and done.
Something to keep an eye on. That's a story that's going to come out eventually, but it also probably makes things awkward at the Van Gundy table with Tibbs on the tree and Mark Jackson's also on the tree.
Yeah.
At the Van Gundy table, I'm sure they're not sitting together at this point, but still, overall, though, good hire for the Knicks, but an awkward one.
Breaking. Can we get some can't wait news?
Can't wait.
Listen, man, this game for Baltimore on Thursday looks like it's going to be in jeopardy, man. More cases, more positive tests.
Well, you had two. Who were the two?
It was Ingram and Dobbins. Right. And then Brandon Williams, who's been on the list twice and has missed a couple games, their nose guard, because of close contact, was put on the list too. So now more positive tests. This is a huge game for them. Baltimore is eighth seed right now. If they lose to Pittsburgh, they may drop to the ninth seed after being 5-1.
You have to play the game, don't you? Thursday. It's Thanksgiving night, a game everybody's charged up for.
They won't flex it. They won't flex Monday night. That's the biggest game of the night.
How do you flex a Thursday game? You can't.
The thing is, they have three already that night. But is NFL Network going to lose, or whoever's having that game, are they going to be willing to lose that huge night? That's a huge rating for them. That should be the biggest rating that they have all year outside of the playoffs. Thursday night, everybody's sitting
together with
their family.
What would you do? Would you move the Cowboys Washington game to a?
You can because those are probably ABC, NBC, right? And then
each network has their own game that day. CBS has the early one that nobody's watching.
Right, so that means NFL Network is the night game, and that's their biggest game. Thursday night, they have time to shine.
But there's only three games on the schedule.
Who also has that package?
Doesn't
NBC have the package with NFL Network? Because NFL Network shows it, but then NBC has it, too.
Yeah, but that's my point, though, is that you'd have to, unless you move a game to the night just so you have a night game, but one of the networks loses a game. There's only three games
and
that day. There's another game actually affected here also. There's a story out of Dallas right now that is... It's a sad story. We don't have all the details just yet. There's some that are trickling in that are not ready to report. But you have... The Cowboys right now are not practicing. They canceled practice today. Now, they're playing Thursday. So it's Tuesday and you're not practicing. They're playing Washington on Thursday. They're playing at home. But their practice was canceled because of it's a medical emergency that happened at the facility with a staff member. It is not COVID-related, however. But from what we're understanding, it could be a tragic story. No, it's a little more serious than that.
Oh, wow.
But we haven't gotten all the details enough, at least to report as far as I've seen. But once we get all the information, we'll tell you. But something's happened there that involves a staff member that has caused them to
cancel practice.
And so you have a game on Thursday.
Right. So something.
You got to keep an eye on what's going on. And the Cowboys.
I don't want to speculate, but.
Winning games. But no, it's a staff member. It's not player related, but still everybody there a little bit shaken up.
Yeah,
so
that's not good.
Yeah, no question. All right. I want to get to some calls. We do have some Cal. Maybe we'll do the Cal stuff at the bottom of the hour. We'll do it after Jay. It's probably best to do it this way at this point. Let's get some calls, though. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Owen in Newark. Go ahead, Owen.
Hey, Han, how you, Bart? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Matata.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to say, I want to make a Jet and a Nick point, but I just want to say, you two guys, man, y'all are great, man. I'm so happy you guys are on the radio. Y'all doing a fantastic job. Hon, I used to follow you on the overnight, and Bart, you, when you came to Jets, I know you run that bravado, man, that can't wait attitude, and I love the way you articulate games and break them down so people can really understand, and I also like the way you defend Rex Ryan as well. I just wanted to put that out there.
Appreciate it.
But on my notes that I want to say, yeah, is basically, number one, with the Jets, I just want to tell everybody, to me, I like what you made the point a couple weeks ago, but on, look, if we get that number one pick, trade down. To me, I like Sam Darnold. Only thing with Sam Darnold and the problem I have with him is he can't stay healthy.
Right.
But if he can stay healthy and on his feet and you can give him some legit receivers, like somebody said recently, he never had a one true legit number one receiver. Just give me one of those, and I think he'll be just fine. So trade down and get more picks. The other thing with the Knicks, be patient. I like the direction to me that we're going. I wouldn't have spent all that money on Gordon, and I wouldn't have spent all that money on anybody else. Van Pleet, I think his name is, from Toronto. That's the only guy that I probably would have spent money on at the end of the day.
He wanted to stay.
But I just wanted to stay there, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Y'all been great. And by the way, sweet potato, that's a dessert.
Thank you. All right, appreciate you, man. I think that's going to be an argument that just goes on and on. And I love it. I'll let you touch on the Jet one, but on the Nick one, it's patience is going to have to be preached here. Not everybody wants to have it because it's been a long wait already. But as long as you'll get patience if the plan looks like a good plan, and I think right now, if you're paying close attention, there is a plan. It's the right way to go, but it's of course a painstakingly slow one that you just have to be able to ride out at least one more season and hope you show some trending up and some competitiveness going forward. That's all I'll say about the Knicks and where they are right now. But what about what he said about Sam, Bart? It was a while back we said this.
Yeah.
Oh, just trade the pick, get all these. And they've, like I said, I've mentioned it. You know, Devontae Smith, I mean, Jamar Chase, you've got some wide receivers that are going to be top 10 picks in this draft that, you know, could be talented players that you could bring in for the Jets and for Sam. But it's really hard, though, what everybody's talking about when it comes to Trevor Lawrence. It's hard to say
when you see
pass
Herbert
on a guy like that.
It's when you see Herbert, right? And you would say that Lawrence is a better version of Herbert, and we see what Herbert's doing in the league. Now, granted, like, it's some great receivers there, but you still have two first-round draft picks. So if you take Trevor Lawrence, it's not that you can't go get that right tackle from Oregon, or you can't go get the tackle from Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got Becton on one side, beast mode, and then now you got a right tackle as well.
Right.
You go get Joe Tooney from the Patriots.
Right.
Now you got basically three Pro Bowl caliber linemen, and then you make them battle it out for center and all that other stuff. You can get somebody decent that can fill in, but now you got a great interior lineman. You got two great outside linemen. You know what I mean? That you can count on. Granted that the college person has to work themselves out, and then I don't think you go in a draft and you get a receiver. I mean, I think you get the receiver.
You want to spend money. You want to go get somebody that's already established.
Because Mims,
you got Mims. Yeah.
Mims has showed me enough.
That's a good point.
Mims,
you got the young one already.
We know Crowder is there.
Good point.
And Crowder's has not disappointed. We got Mims.
Yeah.
I think you still keep Perriman. You bring Perriman back on the Quincy and Nunez money.
Stay
same
healthy
money that's falling on the book.
Yeah,
but that's why you give him another 1 year.
You got to get a tight end, or you got to use Griffin more. One or the other. You got to get a tight end.
Bro.
Oh, no. I'm trying. Zach Ertz. I'm sorry.
Quit playing.
My bad. You already called that.
You see what I'm saying?
Just Google it.
So we got Zach Ertz.
Mm-hmm.
We got either Kenny Galladay, Keenan Allen. We saw Keenan Allen the other day.
Yeah.
Go get whoever going to be quarterback, Keenan Allen. You got Mims on the other side, Crowder there, Zach Ertz. And then you
say
Perriman, come on back.
All you need, Bart, a coach. An actual coach.
What you need is a manager.
You do.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.